Let me invite you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Father, it is a joy for us to sing of your faithfulness and goodness, to sing of the reality of our union and communion with you, what Jesus, your Son and our Savior, has accomplished on our behalf. And as we open your word and seek to worship you in light of what you've recorded for us, we pray that our hearts and minds would be attentive, that we would allow your Spirit and your word to illuminate truth to us. Help us to feel the sense of safety in your light and desire to run toward you for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Most people are grateful for a justice system that penalizes violent, destructive crimes. You and I are all familiar, I think, with the public murder of Irina Zarutka in Charlotte, North Carolina, just recently. And it's horrible on so many fronts. But of particular note to our current consideration this morning in the scriptures, when the criminal justice system doesn't function with justice, violence spreads. If someone is violently harming others, whether physically hurting, sexually harming, murdering others, a rational response is for that individual terrorizing others to, at the very least, be imprisoned. There's no reason for a criminal justice system to allow that violence to continue. In the face of destructive violence, God brings two solutions: justice, salvation. Justice, salvation. This morning we're going to consider one main verse from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11:7, which says, you'll see it on the screens, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Noah believed what God was telling him. That's what it means, by faith. By faith, it means we believe. Noah believed what God was telling him. The background for what we see in Hebrews 11:7 is in Genesis 6 and following. So I want for us to take a look there. And as we read some texts from this section of Genesis, what I want for us to really see and feel is a growing, deepening violence and decay and destruction among God's creation in the days of Noah. A deepening violence, a deepening decay, a deepening destruction among God's creation in the days of Noah. So, with that being said, let's take a look. We're going to cut into the middle of this, and we'll bounce around a little bit within Genesis 6. But starting in verse 9, we're going to read verses 9 through 13 to begin with, where God's word says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. As we start, just one statement to just kind of mull for a moment. Violence breeds violence. Violence breeds or produces violence. In verse 11, the earth was corrupt. The word means decayed, ruined. Here's a good word, perverted, destroyed. The earth was perverted, decayed, destroyed. He says also in verse 11, the earth was filled with violence. The word violence can be translated cruelty, injustice, the earth teeming with cruelty and injustice. So you think in terms of murder and rape. You think in terms of child trafficking. You think about theft and looting. We think about entering into someone else's home, forcing them out, forcefully overtaking them and their stuff. We're not talking in Noah's day about someone cutting us off on the road and gesturing at us. It would be more like someone running us off the road, but that's not sufficient. Themselves pulling off the road and finishing the job by eliminating you. That's the picture being painted. This corrupt violence is said to have filled the earth. It was rampant. You could call it spreading violence, producing violence. It wasn't isolated in one pocket of people, but it was taking over wherever people lived. Violence. Verse 12. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. A question that could be asked about verses 11 and 12 is, just how invasive was it? Just how invasive was this corruption or violence or perversion in Noah's day? But in asking that question, I would like you to know the text actually answers the question in verse 5. Genesis 6, 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Violence, cruelty, decay, and destruction ruled the thoughts and intentions and actions of humanity. And thus, God's creation was destroying itself. The creation destroying the creation. Created things destroying created things. It was a rampant, growing, deepening, spreading, invasive violence. Now, God had made man in his image. God has made man in his image, after his likeness, to reflect his thoughts, his intentions, and his way. Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Fill the earth with what? Their presence, which was to be a reflection of God. To fill the earth with the reflection of God, his thoughts, his ways, his character. Instead, violence and corruption filled the earth, which is the very opposite of God's design. Violence was producing violence, destruction was producing destruction, death was producing what? Death. Corruption was invasive and spreading. Look at verses 6 and 7. We're in Genesis chapter 6. Look at verses 6 and 7. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I have made them. Hate. Hate. And pain. And violence. And perversion. And destruction. Is not what mankind was created for. So God's response was to bring an end to the turmoil caused by his creation. God's response to violence was to bring an end to the turmoil caused by mankind. But it's important to understand this. God did not create the earth for destruction. His plans are so much better. As we see this hard to grapple with scene and the implications associated with it, when seen clearly in the context of Scripture and in the context of life, what we will recognize is that God has been revealed to be, at his core, a merciful, rescuing God. Creation killing creation and ratcheting it up and deepening the violence and furthering the perversion, spreading the wickedness, and God said, I will not have it. This is not what I've created the world for. I have better plans. The revelation of Scripture is constantly revealing God's redemptive character. And so we come to verse 8 in Genesis chapter 6, where God's word says, But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That word is the word in the Hebrew that we would translate grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the face of all the opposition and violence and cruelty, God dispensed grace, unmerited favor upon Noah. Noah didn't do something to elicit grace. God, out of who he is, elicits and produces and pours forth grace in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in the midst of violence breeding violence and death breeding death and destruction breeding destruction. God, out of the resources of who he is, pours out grace upon Noah, because that is who God is. God is undaunted, meaning unwilling to stop, in his mission to bring wholeness and good to all he has created. And we have to see this accounting of the flood in light of God's character. God preserving his promise made many years before to Adam and Eve in the garden, particularly to Eve. The first mentioning of the gospel that God was going to bring a redeemer through the seed of the woman. And that is what we see in Genesis chapters 6 through 9, is God making good on his promise of preserving the bloodline that the seed of Jesus Christ would one day come. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God is undaunted in his mission to bring wholeness and good to his creation. Now, there's a book in my office that's this thick. It's called The Mission of God, written by Christopher Wright. I'm just going to give you a little segment of it. Just a couple of lines will be on the screen here. Speaking about God, his promise is not only with humanity, but also with every living creature on earth. This is God's earth, and God is covenantly committed to its survival. Just as later revelation will show us that God is also covenantly committed to its ultimate redemption. The flood, horrible for our minds to think about, is a way in which God preserved what otherwise was destroying itself. God, our eternal God, is already perfectly content with the ultimate end. He is the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's not living right now in some type of a suspense, a suspicion, hoping that things will turn in his favor. God is eternal and omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. God is not subject to wondering how it's going to work out. It's all worked out, and it's wonderful. Because God did not create the world, nor the people that he created on the world, for the intention of destruction. So with that in mind, hold your hand here in Genesis, unless you have a clicker. You can't hold your hand in the clicker. Genesis 6, we're going to come back to you, but take a look at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Romans 8. Paul does a beautiful job. Of course, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit in this writing. A beautiful job of conveying how God is taking the destruction and violence, the adversity and suffering of this time, and producing something for the future. And that thing that's coming in the future is perfect in accordance with his power and his plan. So we're in Romans chapter 8. I want to look at verses 18 through the beginning of verse 24, just to get a little flavor here of what God is saying. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, emptiness, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. That hope was in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we are eagerly waiting for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Just the beginning of verse 24 now. For in this hope we were saved. In this confident expectation about the future, in this hope we were saved. We were saved with the understanding that the things that we're experiencing now that are hard and difficult, the challenges that arise from within us, the violence that arises from within us, the groaning that arises from within us, the groaning that is around us, the eager expectation to be set free from bondage that's around us, all of that was to help us to look forward to that which is going to come when there's full freedom from bondage and corruption and destruction and decay. We were saved in this kind of hope, a hope to look forward to what is to come. This is what God has done. Because God did not create the world or his people to experience destruction. The channel of how God is working out his salvation takes various turns along the way. In the context of what we're studying this morning, one of those channels was Noah. Noah was graced in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In the middle of all the violence and corruption of Noah's day, God pronounced his favor upon Noah as a channel through which his grace and goodness would continue to pursue after people for salvation. I'm going to say that again. I want you to hear this, please. Noah was a channel through which God's grace and goodness would continue to pursue after people for salvation. Look at verses 13 and 14 back in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, verse 13. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. He goes on there to describe the ark. Through the grace of God, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, events yet unseen. He had never seen rain. He had never seen a flood. He had nothing to stand on. Nothing to substantiate this. Oh, I will remind you of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the undersubstance of things hoped for. Faith is something to stand upon. It's substantiated by the voice of God, the word of God. Through grace, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, if you were Noah, you would in reverent fear do whatever this is. You're like, I am afraid already. There's violence everywhere. There's already reason for fear. I'm afraid every day of how things are going to turn out. And now you're telling me, God, that there's this flood coming, and in the middle of all this violence with people that already don't like me, I'm going to start building this massive thing, and everything's going to be fine? In reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. In Hebrews 11:7, Noah's building an ark was to make a judgment against the world. It was to make a judgment against the world. It said, by doing this, he condemned the world. As he was building the ark and preaching, he was condemning the world. It's an interesting way to express that. So I want for you to think about it. I want to mull through this a little bit so we can try to, as clearly as we can, grapple with what Hebrews 11:7 is saying. As Noah was building the ark, it was a visual. The world is headed toward death and destruction. There needs to be a safe place. The ark is that safe place. Come to safety. To think about it a little further, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. As he was building the ark, he was preaching. What do you suppose his message was? All right, here's one version that maybe you'll assess whether maybe this was his version. I'm trying to use 21st century communication. Hey guys, Noah 4:32 over here. Stop killing each other. You need to straighten out your behavior and live at peace so that when the flood waters come, you'll perish in peace. Hashtag rip. Stop the violence so that you can die in the flood waters as really good people. Or do you suppose he might be conveying something like this? Our sin and our violence has led to judgment. God is not going to allow the violence of our time to continue. Instead, it will be met with violence. But there is salvation available to you. There will be a boat of safety, a refuge for you. You simply need to board the ark and you'll be safe. And by the way, if you believe me, come help build the ark. Noah was calling people to come to believe God, to trust God, to believe that God was angry with the violence and he would not stand idly by while his creation continued to violate one another. He would not stand idly by. The judgment was coming one way or the other. There was no turning it around. However, there was a place of salvation provided by God himself. It was this belief in the provision of God that saved Noah. It was not the physical salvation afforded by a physical boat. It was a spiritual salvation in which Noah heard the word of God, believed him, and said, "Okay, God, I know there's no other way. It's you or nothing." Consider our text in Hebrews 11 once more. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah was saved by faith in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And you know what Noah did in the midst of that? He held forth the word of life. There's life here. There's life available to you. There's safety available to you, authored and offered by God himself. Brothers and sisters, friends, we live in such a day. We live in such a day. Look around. We have violence in so many ways. There is external violence, murder, rape, human trafficking persists all around the globe. There's political violence. We've recently experienced that. But that's just a small little touch. People around the world have been dealing with that political violence for generations. Political violence. There's verbal violence, both verbal this way and verbal with our fingers, texting or whatever, tweeting, Xing, whatever you call it now. Then there's the internal violence, in which we look at one another as opponents, as the enemy. We look with disgust at people who think differently than we do. We might verbalize it, or we might silently keep it to ourselves. This is not what we were designed for. We're designed for greater things than this. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no stopping the impending death we all face. Right? History tells us, you live, then you die. It's facing all of us. There's no stopping the ultimate final judgment. It will come, both small and great, rich and poor, will stand before the judgment seat of God, the judgment seat of Christ. But just as in Noah's day, there is an offering of salvation. We are offered rescue from all of our rampant violence, all the violence from within inside of us, and rescue from all the rampant violence that comes outside of us. Peter states it so simply and beautifully in Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. As Noah was united in a righteous relationship with God through faith, you and I are invited to be united in a righteous relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. A very familiar text. You've heard it countless times in your life, I imagine, is John 14:6. You've at least seen it on someone's eye black, John 14:6. And they're playing football. You had John 14:6. Maybe you've seen the reference. Maybe you know what the reference is, but here it is. Jesus said, I am the way. We sang about this. The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All of the violence of Noah's day, all of the violence of our day, Jesus endured it all. Jesus was pronounced guilty of my violence, my corruption, my decay, my perversion, and yours. Pronounced guilty. All of the associated judgment that comes upon a perverted, guilty, violent person was poured out on Jesus, the righteous one, for the unrighteous one. All of that violence poured out, is pronounced guilty. He became sin for us, even though he knew no sin. He did this so that in him we might be made the righteousness of God through him. That's heirs of righteousness through faith. That's what Hebrews 11:7 is talking about. Noah was pronounced right with God through trusting Him, believing Him. It comes through faith. The call that goes forward today, yesterday, days behind us, and days coming forward until we see our Savior. The call is faith in Christ results in righteousness. Faith in Christ results in life. Believing Him and Him alone rescues us from violence. Jesus is the ark of safety that is lifted up through the waters of judgment. He endured the full judgment of God against sin and offers to you and me full and forever forgiveness. And He offers to you and to me a righteous, eternal relationship with God through faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. There is salvation and there is safety in no one else. It's Christ and Christ alone. He is the safe ark through which salvation is provided. And as Noah would say to his fellows of the day, I say, come to safety. It's found in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, You know what each one in this room is thinking and what each one in this room needs. Father, we're asking You in these moments right now to help us. We believe. Help us in our unbelief. We get worried. We're unsettled at times. We're unsettled because of things outside of us, and sometimes we're unsettled because of things inside of us. We know that there's safety in Christ. We believe this, and yet the troubles persist. We ask, Father, that You would help us to find in You and in Your Son the safety and security and comfort and confidence that we so desperately need. We ask, Father, for anyone among us this morning, whether in this room or listening online, Father, if there are people that still have not yet recognized the salvation that is offered through Jesus alone, we pray that even in this moment, they would recognize that their deepest need is met by trusting that Jesus is the only salvation offered, and that in Him there is full and forever forgiveness and full and enduring righteousness provided for them through Jesus. We pray even in this moment You might help a person to see and to call upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. We commit this to You in Jesus' great name. Amen.